All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking a look at, well, a legal case. That really highlights just how important it is to pay attention to the details, the fine print in contracts, particularly when it comes to construction. We're going to be focusing on American Continental Life Insurance Co. v. Rainier Construction Co.
Yeah, this case, it's from a while back, 1980, but it still has a lot of relevance today, especially, okay. You know, for all you folks out there studying to be lawyers. I mean, this really gets into like the core of contract law, touches on construction law, and even has some implications for civil procedure. Yeah. You know, understanding this idea of conditions precedent, which is kind of like the heart of this case. It could really make the difference for your clients down the road. We're talking about, you know, whether they get paid, you know, what they deserve or end up, you know, losing a lot of money on a project. It's a big deal.
Oh yeah. I mean, you could build the most amazing, you know, building, but if you don't dot your I's and cross your T's in that contract, well, you know, that final payment might never come through. And that's what happened here. So we have American Continental. They hired Rainier Construction to build this commercial building, right? Cost about $517,000. And they, you know, the contract laid out exactly how those payments would be made, you know, including those important steps to get that last chunk of money.
And it's really that final payment where, you know, everything kind of goes sideways. So the question we're really looking at today is, you know, what happens when a contractor, you know, they think they've pretty much finished the project, right? Maybe like 99% there, but they haven't, you know, followed every single like tiny little condition in the contract. Can they still get that final payment? Do they deserve to get paid?
You know, just thinking about it, you would think, well, yeah, if the building is up, it's functional, then yeah, they should get paid for the work they've done. But here's where it gets kind of crazy. The jury in the initial trial, they actually sided with the contractor, gave him a, you know, pretty good chunk of change. But then the Arizona Supreme Court, they came in and completely reversed that decision. So what exactly went wrong for Rainier? What did they miss in the contract that caused, you know, the highest court in the state to rule against them? Let's dive into that.
So I think the key to understanding this whole reversal is this thing called a condition precedent. Okay, think of it like a checkpoint in the contract. Like this specific thing, it has to happen, right? This event, this action, it has to happen before the other party, you know, has to do their part, like paying up. And in this American Continental case, well, the contract was super clear. It laid out this condition precedent that Rainier had to, you know, absolutely meet before they could even ask for that final payment.
So what was it? What exactly did Rainier need to do to, you know, unlock that final payment? What was that crucial step?
The contract, and I mean, it said it really clearly, said that before Rainier got that final bit of money, the architect for the project, they had to issue a final certificate for payment. It wasn't, you know, just a suggestion or some like little paperwork thing. No, it was spelled out right there in the contract, black and white, that they both signed.
Okay, so Rainier finishes, you know, building this thing. They're probably thinking, all right, we did it, we're done. Why didn't they get this final certificate then? What happened?
Well, that's where the fight really starts, right? Rainier, they sue American Continental for the rest of the money, saying, hey, we pretty much finished the whole project. And American Continental, well, they hit back with their own lawsuit saying, no, 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 the work was like shoddy. It was defective. And so it goes to trial, right? And like we said, the jury, they actually sided with Rainier. They awarded them $130,000, though they did take off $10,000 for, you know, those problems that American Continental pointed out.
Yeah. So basically the jury is saying, look, the building's, you know, basically done. There's some minor issues, but just pay the contractor most of what you owe them. But then the Supreme Court steps in, right, and they're like, nope, not so fast. What was their main reasoning for overturning that jury's decision?
Well, the Arizona Supreme Court, they basically made it very clear that you got to, you know, stick to what the contract says. Like they basically said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but they basically said, you sign the contract, you live by the contract. They really emphasized that this architect's final certificate, it wasn't just, you know, some random paperwork, some little procedural step. No, they called it a major substantive right for American Continental.
Substantive right. That sounds pretty important. What made it so important to the court?
It is important. You know, the court, they explain that the whole point of this certificate, it, it has like multiple layers, right? It's there to make sure that the work, it doesn't just like look done, but that it actually follows like all the plans, the specifications, you know, everything they agree to. It's kind of like a motivator for the contractor to really like finish everything up, you know, fix any problems. And at the end of the day, it gives the owner, you know, American Continental in this case, it gives them that assurance that they're getting exactly what they paid for before they hand over that big final payment. Think of it like a built-in quality control, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Like a final, like independent check. Now, of course, Ryan Ye didn't, you know, just give up. Mm-hmm. What did they say? What were their main arguments to try to convince the court that they should still get that money? And why doesn't the Supreme Court buy it?
Well, Rainier, you know, they threw out a few legal arguments. One of their big ones was this idea of waiver, right? They said that because of the way American Continental acted, you know, refusing to sign this substantial completion certificate and just being, well, difficult throughout the whole project, that basically meant they were waiving that need for the final certificate for payment.
So they're saying the American Continental basically gave up their right to demand that final architect certification.
Exactly. That's the waiver argument. But the court, they weren't convinced. They said, you know, a real legal waiver, it has to be clear. It has to be intentional. You have to be giving up a right that you know about, you know? And looking at all the evidence, they didn't see anything that showed American Continental intentionally giving up that right to the final certificate. Just because they refused to sign one document, the substantial completion one, that doesn't automatically mean they're giving up their right to the final payment certificate, which is a whole different thing, you know? And the court, they made it very clear. They said the waiver of one right under a contract does not necessarily waive other rights under the contract.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an important distinction. Saying no to one thing doesn't mean you're giving up all your protections, right?
Yeah.
What else? What other arguments did Rainier make?
Well, they also lean pretty heavily on this legal idea called substantial performance. This basically says that, you know, you can still get what you're owed under a contract, even if you didn't do everything like perfectly, as long as it's mostly done.
Okay.
So Rainier's argument was basically, hey, we built most of this building, you know, it's 99% done. A few little things shouldn't stop us from getting paid.
Yeah. That sounds, you know, kind of reasonable on the surface. Why didn't the court agree with that?
This is where, you know, that condition precedent thing really comes in strong. The court, they made a distinction between this case and, you know, other cases where that substantial performance thing might work. They pointed out that the contract in American Continental, it very specifically said that the architect's final certificate was a requirement, like non-negotiable, before that final payment. They both agreed to that, right? So just saying, oh, well, we substantially performed wasn't enough. The contract set higher bar, or it wasn't just mostly done.
So the actual words in the contract, they trumped that general legal idea of substantial performance.
Yeah, exactly. It really shows how important those specific words in the contract are, you know. They mm-hmm. can really determine the outcome, even when, you know, you might think, well, legally it should go the other way. It's a reminder that not every, you know, little deviation from the contract is treated the same way by the law. It's an idea you can see in other cases too, like Jacob and Young's v. Kent. Though the specifics there are a bit different. But in our case, the court was pretty clear that final certificate was a big deal and they both agreed to it.
Gotcha. And Rainier had one more argument, right? Something about it being like impossible to even get the certificate.
Right. They claimed it was futile. They said because American Continental was being so difficult, so uncooperative, that trying to get that certificate was like pointless.
But the Supreme Court didn't buy that either.
Nope, not at all. The court basically said, look, you can't just decide that part of the contract doesn't matter because you think the other side is going to be a jerk about it, you know, unless you can prove it's like literally impossible. You got to stick to what you signed. They weren't going to let Rainier off the hook just because they thought it would be hard to get that certificate.
So it sounds like the Supreme Court's decision was really all about, you know, upholding those clear terms that both sides agreed to in the contract.
Mm.
Now, I know it wasn't a unanimous decision, right? There was a dissenting opinion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Justice Struckmeyer, he dissented. His main point was that, you know, they should have applied that substantial performance idea in this case, especially because, you know, American Continental was already using the building. They were in it.
Right.
So the fact that American Continental was, you know, benefiting from that building, even though maybe it wasn't perfect, that was a big part of the dissenting justice's reasoning.
Yeah, he really focused on fairness, you know, preventing what he saw as an unjust outcome. He basically said, look, American Continental is using this building that Ranier built, so they should get paid. Even if, you know, there are some things to fix, which the jury already considered in their award, he felt like the majority's decision was too focused on a technicality and that it led to an unfair result.
It's interesting to see that tension, right, between, like, strictly following the letter of the law and trying to be more flexible, more fair in how it plays out in real life. Now, for all our listeners out there who are, you know, in law school, what are some of the key legal concepts that this case really, really highlights?
This case, it's like a masterclass in a few really important legal ideas. First off, we have the condition precedent. Remember that gatekeeper idea. This case shows perfectly how a condition precedent is like that barrier you have to pass before you can, you know, demand something from the other side. That architect's certificate, that was the gate. And without it, Ranier couldn't even ask for that final payment.
And we talked about waivers, too. How does this case, you know, add to our understanding of that concept?
Well, this case makes it crystal clear that to waive something, you have to do it on purpose. It has to be clear that you're intentionally giving up a right that you know you have. Just arguing about other parts of the contract or being tough in negotiations, that's not enough to say you've waived a specific right, like that final certificate. And it kind of touches on the difference between waiver and estoppel, too. Estoppel wasn't really a factor here, but it's worth knowing that estoppel is more about, you know, one side saying something and the other side relying on that to their detriment. So you can't, like, go back on your word later.
And finally, that substantial performance doctrine. This case really shows how it can be limited when you have a really clear condition precedent, right?
Absolutely. You know, substantial performance, it's important. It can help if you've, you know, basically done what you were supposed to. But American Continental v. Ranier, it shows that if the contract says this specific thing has to happen before you get paid, then just doing most of the work isn't enough. Those specific terms of the agreement, they can be more powerful than that general legal idea.
So for our future lawyers out there, what are the big takeaways from this case? What should they be thinking about when they're, you know, writing contracts or advising their clients?
Well, there are a few really important things to remember. Number one, how you write that contract, it matters a lot. This case shows just how important it is to use clear, precise language, you know, especially when you're talking about these conditions precedent.
Yeah.
If you want a final certificate or any other specific thing to happen before payment, you got to spell it out in the contract, make it crystal clear. This case shows just how strictly courts will enforce those words.
So no room for ambiguity, right? Make everything in that contract crystal clear. What else? What other practical advice can we take away from this case?
Document, 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 everything. This case shows that just saying, oh, they were being difficult or arguing about other parts of the contract, that's not enough to prove you waived a right. You got to keep detailed records of every conversation, every agreement, everything you do to meet your obligations. And if you think the other side might be waiving a right, write that down too. Good documentation can be like gold if you end up in court.
And for those of you who might end up, you know, representing contractors, what's the key message from this case?
If you're working with contractors, you got to tell them, follow those payment procedures to the letter, like exactly how they're written in the contract. They need to understand that even if they've done most of the work, even if the owner's being a pain, they might not get that final payment if they haven't checked every box, every condition in that agreement.
So at the end of the day, what happened in American Continental v. Ranier? What was the final outcome?
Well, the Arizona Supreme Court, they reversed the jury's decision, which meant Ranier, they didn't get that final payment they were asking for. And because American Continental won the appeal, they were considered the prevailing party. So they actually got to recover their lawyer fees from Ranier.
Wow. So Ranier lost out on a lot of money, and it all came down to that final certificate from the architect.
Yeah, that's really the lesson here, right? Those conditions precedent, they're powerful. Even something that seems, you know, minor, like a technicality, it can have huge financial consequences if you don't follow it.
So for everyone listening, as you, you know, continue on your journey in law school, think about this. Courts have this tough job, right? they have to balance upholding the exact words of a contract, you know, something that everyone agreed to, with, you know, making sure things are fair, that nobody's getting taken advantage of. So the question is, are there times when a court should maybe look past a condition precedent, you know, maybe say, okay, we get it. You didn't technically do this one thing, but it would be really unfair to punish you for it. It's a tricky question, right? It gets to the heart of contract law, how we apply these big legal ideas to real life, which can be messy, right? Anyway, thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.